Amen. I have a thought, maybe a title for my thoughts tonight, and that title is Birds on a Limb. Birds on a Limb. Verse 5, Solomon says, I want you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. In all of your ways, surrender to him. And you know what? He'll direct your paths. You know what? He'll make your path straight. I heard a story the other day. I can't remember where I heard it. Just the other day, recently. There's two birds that are having a conversation with one another. The first bird, let's call him Fred. First bird, Fred, is standing on a very thick, solid branch. The second bird, Jerry, is standing on a very flimsy branch, a branch that's very shaky. Fred, who's standing on the firm branch, looks at Jerry and says, how can you stand on that flimsy branch? I mean, look, it's shaking, it's moving, the wind is blowing it. How are you able to do that? Why don't you hop over here and stand on this firm branch? And Jerry says back to Fred, I'm standing on this shaky branch because my confidence is in my wings and not in the branch. Ooh, God, I felt the Holy Ghost right there. I don't know who that's for. I think sometimes we are looking, I know as humans, certainly today, we are looking for a branch that doesn't move. We are looking for a political climate that is consistent. We are looking for a leader of the free world, leaders of our nations to be steady branches. We want our careers to be steady. We want our jobs to be steady. We want our companies to be steady. We want our healthcare to be steady. We want our technology to be steady. We don't want it to be glitchy. We want it to be steady. You want this stream to be steady. If this stream is jumping on you, it ain't us, baby, it's you. Your Wi-Fi is weak. You want it steady. We want it steady. We want the world steady. We want a relationship with a person to be steady. We want a relationship with a woman to be steady. We want a relationship with a man to be steady. We want to be on solid ground. Not sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. We want solid rocks. But let's be honest. The truth of the matter is that even the solid rock of Christ is very often built on a shaky world, on a shaky moment. Anyone who has survived the last 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, any church that has made it, any company that has made it, any church believer who has made it, if you're still standing better than you ever did, I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know who that is. Who sings that? Elton John? Help us, Holy Ghost. It's just be a church song. I'm still standing. In Israel, I'm still standing, but by the grace of God. I think Israel might have bit that song from Elton John, if he even wrote it. But what I'm saying is I'm still standing. If you're still standing, you are standing on a rock of Christ, but that rock is sitting in a time period that's full of inconsistency, sitting in a moment that's full of inconsistency. So one of the most challenging moments to be a Christian. Well, no matter what your color is, no matter what your race is, no matter what your background is, this is a challenging moment to be a believer. This is a challenging moment to be a Christian, particularly if you are a Christian of color. If you're a Christian of color, if you're black, if you're brown, if you're African-American, if you're Mexican, if you are Asian, if you are of any minority, quote unquote, although quite honestly, we're not the minority on the planet. We're the majority of the planet. But we're living in a world in a day and a time, in a church world, a Christian world that is led by white Christians primarily. And their interpretation of scripture to us. This is an interesting moment, particularly here in America. This is an interesting moment. A moment in which even the rock of Christ that we're standing on seems to be on shaky ground. Democracy is being questioned higher than ever. And so, as much as I know Christ to be a solid rock, in a sense, a part of this idea of Christianity is your wings have got to be strong. My God. What did I give him? What did I say? Jerry, your confidence can't be on the branch. Your confidence has to be in your wings. I know that most of us are trying to make the branch solid. The rioters are trying to make America a solid branch in their estimation. And I'll have to admit, Brother Biden is already signing some stuff that even makes me, especially as a Christian, as a believer, a little concerned. But the question is, what's my trust in? What's your trust in? It's incredible to me that the people who sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," are angry about something that's happening at the governmental level. It's interesting that folk who sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," are angry about the racism that we may be facing at an American level, or at a Canadian level, or at an Australian level, or even at a Nigerian level, or a Ghanaian level. That we are flustered and extremely bothered by the shakiness of the earth that our Christ is sitting on. It's why Jesus said, "I want you to be in the world, but not of the world." For the writer Solomon to say, "Listen, I know it's going to be tough, but I want you to be birds on a limb. I'm going to put you on a limb, and there are going to be some steady limbs, and there are going to be some shaky limbs." Paul said, "Whether I have or don't have, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Woo, good God, how do I connect that? I can do all things through Christ. I've had money. I've been in lack. Right now, I'm blessed. The Lord has blessed me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But most of my life, I haven't been this blessed. Most of my life, I was hoping. Most of my life, I wasn't dressed this nice. Most of it. Every now and then, I'll get around somebody. I was recently around someone just this past weekend. And, folks who aren't where I am financially. And they start to talk to me like I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. No, baby. No. The spoon that was in my mouth was a plastic spoon. You better get out of here. I didn't even have a spoon. I had a fork. It had to be a combo fork and spoon, okay? I had a wick spoon in my mouth. Get out of here. I had a government. If I had a spoon, it had some government cheese melted on it. You know what I'm talking about. That government cheese made some good bread. It had some pie. The spoon in my mouth had powdered milk and Cheerios with no sugar on it, okay? Stale Cheerios at that. Then I haven't always been this blessed. Paul said, "Yeah, you got to figure out how to be all right and how to be content in all things. You got to get your wings together." Your bird's on a limb. And if the Lord cares about sparrows, then you know he knows you. I sing because I'm happy. I wish I could sing. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. And that sparrow will stop on something that's shaky for a minute. That sparrow will stop on a wire that the wind is blowing, not concerned because of the strength of their wings. Every now and then, I'll see one of these Canadian geese trying to cross the street. I don't know if you've ever been in around them, and I heard they were protected. I should have looked it up so I could give you some informed thought right now, but it's just come to mind. I think they're protected. I think so. Although I don't know why there's so many of them, but I'll tell you what, I don't know if they have some kind of chip in them or tracking device. And ain't that a shame? If they are, why are they tracking them? And there's kids kidnapped we can't find. Don't get me started talking about that. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere and some of these Canadian geese are walking across the street, okay? Ain't no make way for ducklings. That's not happening. Not when I'm driving down the street. I'm like, y'all better get out my way. I do not brake for geese. I do not stop for Canadian geese. No, I do not. Pastor Andy, don't say that. I do not stop for them. There is no reason for them to walk across the road. I'm not about to stop for them. Not when they can fly over. I was driving down the street just the other day. I was on a two-lane thing, and this Canadian geese just decided to step out. I don't know who he thought. I wasn't about to mess up my car for no geese, for no goose. I was like, your goose about to be cooked. You better jump up on them wings and fly over this road. I know that. That many of us are looking for the traffic of life to stop for us and not hit us. You have to realize traffic will be here, baby. You better get up. You better mount up on wings like an eagle and stop walking across the street. That your trust, Solomon says, look, I know it's not easy, but I want you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. I want you to get your heart involved in the trust. I want you to get your heart involved in the belief. I looked that word up because I've been, this is the study. This is what's happening with me right now. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, a whole lot of things swirling around us. And especially with our next move, our next building, and I'm going to be sharing my vision with you, and we're doing due diligence on this land, and I'm having meetings with builders and civil engineers and architects, and I'm trying to get renderings. I'm going to show it to everybody so that we can all be on the same page, world overcomers, what our next steps are. It's powerful. But at the end of the day, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. That word trust there, it's a Hebrew word. That word trust there, it means several things. And number one, it means confident in. So he's saying, be confident in the Lord. Have confidence. And when you think about God, when you think about his plan for your life, don't throw away your confidence. Trust. Be confident. And the time to be confident is when confidence is not there. Anybody can be confident in a confident moment. Anybody can be confident when you're up 3 touchdowns. Anybody can be confident when you're up by 40. You ever watch a basketball game and just all of a sudden everybody's hitting threes because they're up 25. All of a sudden people who can't even make threes start making them. Centers start shooting them because you can shoot a 3 when you're up 25. It's totally different to shoot a 3 when you're down 10. Now, them are the shooters. There's a confidence that you have to have in your unconfident moment. That's the people who have confidence. The people who are saying it and being it when it's not a confident moment. To be bold is another way that the word could be translated. Be bold in God. Have some boldness. Have some courage. Actually dare. Actually be courageous. I was talking to my daughter and she's a musician and she's got a bunch of producers or whatever who want to work with her. And I was talking to her and I was saying to her, stop doubting when people tell you you're good. I know this happens with me. I'm sure it happens with you. Because there are so many evil people. There are so many people that want to use you and lie to you and betray you, and stab you in the back. I've been there. I've been stabbed so many times that you can start to not trust anyone. But if you allow that to happen, you're going to miss out on the blessing. Be bold. If this is what God has called you to do, be bold. If this is what God has given you to do, be bold. If God told you to open that business and this last manager was not good, and then you brought this one and they weren't good, and you brought another one in and they're not good, now you're on your fourth manager. You've met this one and you're thinking, this looks like this is the guy. Be bold. Have faith in God. Have faith in the purpose of God in your life. Be secure. It's another way that the word can be translated. Be secure in the Lord, not in the branch, in the Lord, not in the job, in the Lord, not in the relationship, in the Lord. Having a conversation with a couple that's dating and close to thinking about getting married, and the word prenup popped out. Oh, my Lord, you say prenup. Especially a man saying prenup to a woman. It's so interesting. There are women who are interested in men who have money and then are bothered when that man wants to protect that money. I don't even know if I should have said this. Woo! But I'll tell you right now, if something happened to First Lady, and I may the Lord watch over her, hallelujah. But if something happened to her and I found myself single again and somebody rolled through here, they're going to be signing a prenup, baby. LaShawn was with me when I was broke. I didn't have nothing. I wasn't even Pastor Andy. I was just Andy. I was Andy in college, sitting on the bench, basketball team. That's who I was. I wasn't no Pastor Andy. Prenup for what? My old clothes? No. But with what I have now and the property and the way the Lord has blessed me and the money and my pension and whoever going to ride this train, going to ride it with a ticket. It's going to be okay. What I'm saying is when prenup is raised, and I'm sitting here saying it, but it's a prenup is based on fear. Prenup is about what if you leave me? What if you're tricking me? What if you ain't right? And so now her response to the prenup is, what are you trying to say? And you don't trust me. And I'm like, well, boy, I stopped him. I'm like, well, I understand. I understand why he wants a prenup. I understand why a woman is bothered by that, or even a man could be bothered by the prenup. Because I believe me, if you're gonna marry Oprah, you're gonna sign a prenup. But what I'm saying is a part of the reason why that bothers us is because we don't really trust God. That there's a trust in the Lord. Well, what if if I sign this prenup, then if all of a sudden he's done with me, now I've given him 5 years of my life or 7 years of my life, and then I'm just going to leave and he's only going to give me this? Yeah. And you'll have to trust God. You should be trusting God now. The only reason why you should even be with him is if God is speaking to you. So if the prenup is a deal breaker, then that must not be the Lord. But if you trust in God anyway, and you really love him, really love him, not his money. Really love him, and you understand his situation. If you really love him, and your trust is in God. See, but I can flip it around to the dude and flip it around to myself. It's me standing in the need of prayer, but I'm not single. Hallelujah. But all I'm saying is, if I really trust in God and I really trust in the Lord, and if the Lord is the one who's really blessed me, giving me this company, giving me this money, giving me this career, and if God really has spoken to me about her, and if I don't trust her enough, then maybe I shouldn't be marrying her. Maybe I don't know her well enough. Part of her offense was she just felt like, what makes you think I'm after your money? I'm not after your money. I got my own money. But I understand. My response was, well, maybe y'all don't know each other well enough to get married right now. Because the prenup, asking for a prenup, is based on fear. And refusal to sign a prenup is based on fear. As shady as it may be to ask for one, it's equally shady to not be willing to sign one. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And, he says, lean not to your own understanding. Try not to just be ruled by your own discernment, is another way that word can be translated. Your own discernment. When I say your own discernment, I'm not talking about discernment as a spiritual gift. I'm not talking about discerning of the Spirit. I'm not talking about something the Holy Ghost speaks to you about. I'm talking about discernment and understanding that has come as a result of your natural life. He's not saying do away. He's not saying do away with all of your understanding, do away with all of your discernment. He's saying don't lean on it. That word understanding or discernment, there's several things it can mean. It can mean the act of understanding. He's saying, lean not on the act of understanding. There's an act of understanding in which you may say, let me understand that. In these meetings I'm having with all these people who know more than me about land and development and building it and the permit process and all of it, I'm like, the act of understanding it, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm not leaning on the act of understanding. I'm trying to understand where they're coming from, but I'm not necessarily leaning on that. It doesn't mean it's not a factor. But he's saying, don't lean on the act of understanding. Don't lean on your faculty. He's not saying don't have faculties. He's not saying don't have a mind. He's not saying don't have a brain. He's not saying don't think. He's just saying don't let that be the ruling, the leading, deciding factor. Don't lean on personified understanding. Personified understanding means examples or even your experience. This couple I'm talking about, it's the reason why he's asking for a prenup is because of his experiences. The reason why she's got a problem signing one is because of her experiences. We all bring baggage to everything, baby. You ever been on a plane and somebody don't have no baggage? It's almost weird. I fly a lot. And every million people or so I see is a dude walking through security with a book. That dude always makes me nervous. I'm always like, dude, you don't have a bag. You don't have a knapsack. You don't have a backpack. You don't have a man purse, dude. Did you check anything under the plane? What are you, a serial killer? Everybody's got some baggage. Everybody needs to go and stop and check something in. Everybody's putting something through the x-ray. You looking for a dude who has nothing to put through the x-ray? What kind of flight you taking with them? You looking for a chick who has nothing to put on the x-ray. She not even putting a purse on the belt? Everybody's got a certain amount of baggage. But that personified understanding can lead to faulty decision making. Solomon is saying, listen, I get it. You've had a bad experience with men. You've had a bad experience with black men. You've had a bad experience with light-skinned men. You've had a bad experience with white men. You've had a bad experience with white people. You've had a bad experience with old white people. You had a bad experience with Mexican people. You had a bad experience with anybody named Donald. You had a bad experience with anyone named Karen. I got you. You had a bad experience with somebody named Jamal. I got you. I feel you. He's just saying, don't lean on that. Don't make all your decisions based on that. Lean not on your own human discernment. Be aware that it's possible that you've had some experiences that have caused you to draw a negative conclusion. Have you ever had a conversation with someone who has a principle or a concept that they live by? That's ridiculous. All based on a faulty experience they had one time. Well, I never get on a bus that has more than 8 people on it. What are you talking about? because of something somebody told you based on their faulty experience or based on some faulty experience you had. Just because you had that experience doesn't mean that it should mark you forever. Your personified understanding of it. You may meet someone you don't understand because you never met anybody like them before. Have you ever said that to someone? Maybe you've never met anybody like me before. People will get upset when you say that. Oh, what do you mean? I've met all kinds of people. I mean, golly, you're just kind of speaking a little bit highly of yourself. Well, the reason why I said that is because you're ascribing motives to me or a perspective to me that I don't have. So maybe the issue is you. Just because you ain't never met no good black man don't mean there aren't any. Just because you haven't met any good black women don't mean there aren't any. Just because you haven't met any white people you can trust don't mean there aren't any. Just because you haven't met any women you can trust don't mean there aren't any. Just because every dude you met was broke don't mean we all broke. Allow for the possibility that your personal experience has caused you to come to a faulty conclusion about life. Why are you so sure of your own experience? Maybe the enemy has shaped your experience to cripple you. My God, I want to talk to somebody tonight besides just myself. Can we go back to the drawing board and ask God what his real plan was for us? He says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. I'm down on a minute. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Try to keep him in your mind. Andre Crouch had a song that said, always remember Jesus, Jesus, always remember Jesus, Jesus, always keep him on your mind. Sorry, I can't sing. Always keep him on your mind. Can you acknowledge him in all of your ways? Oof, God, this is a whole other sermon right here. I'm about to mess my own self up. Can I acknowledge him in all of my ways? Oh, God, I'm so glad for your mercy and your grace because I'm sitting here and I got ways in which I'm not trying to involve him. Woo-hoo. I got ways in which I'm not trying. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make that path straight. Some of us are on crooked paths because we ain't acknowledged God in that path. We didn't acknowledge God in our education path. We didn't acknowledge God in our career path. We didn't acknowledge God in our trying to find some booty. We didn't acknowledge God in our body, yaddy, yaddy. We didn't acknowledge him. We didn't acknowledge God in what we did with our bodies. We didn't acknowledge him. We were so busy saying, move your hips, okay. They don't even want me to stay. We didn't acknowledge God in that. And then we want him to make it straight after we have not acknowledged him. Ooh, help us, Holy Ghost. He's saying if you can acknowledge him, he'll direct your paths. He'll give you purpose. He'll give you guidance. He'll give you structure. And your path will be straighter as a result of the purpose. God, I never thought about that. My God. That the purpose makes your path straight. Ooh, God. We mostly think about straight paths in terms of obstacles, but I would contend tonight that most of us have crooked paths because the purpose is not clear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Lord, I just pray for straight paths. But God, I pray for straight paths because of divine purpose. I pray for clarity in the Holy Spirit. I thank you for this moment. I thank you for a teaching moment. I thank you for a word moment. I thank you for an anointed moment. I thank you for the clarity and the power and the unction in the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the number, the more than we can even count of people who are at this moment hearing a word from you. I pray that you'd make our path straight. I pray that we'll trust you. We trust you. I pray that we'll trust you. I pray that we'll acknowledge you and you'll make our path straight. Lord, I want to pray for somebody tonight that's in the darkest moment of their life. I know what that's like. God, I pray that you'll turn the lights on. I pray, God, that they'll see that they did not acknowledge you. I pray, God, that they'll see that their path got crooked because you didn't give them purpose. God, I pray that we'll have confidence in our wings. We're birds on a limb in this thing called life. You didn't promise us sunshine all the time. Thank you, God, that there's a strength that you have placed in us. And that's what it means to depend on you, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might and put on the armor that we can take our stand against the wiles of the enemy. Have your way in everyone that's watching tonight, wherever they may be around the world. Miraculously meet needs like you always do. Come do what you do. We'll praise you. We'll honor you. In Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. I know I went over a little bit, but it was good. I want to see you on Sunday. Got a word for you. And I want to see you on Wednesday. Got a word for you. I'm going to pick up right where I left off, somewhere right around here. And I'm already looking at, there's so much more in here. And there's so much from the Proverbs. And I want us to look at the Word of God together. You need to share this with someone. Don't share a TikTok video with somebody and not share a word. Don't share an Instagram video with somebody and not share a word. Don't share an advertisement with somebody and not share a word. Don't share somebody a great place to get a burger and you don't share the word. Tell somebody there's a man of God, there's a prophet that's sharing the word. And not only will your life be blessed, but so will theirs. So glad you're with us tonight. I want to see you again. Let us know that you're watching. We want to know that this ministry is reaching you. And of course, ministries like ours are supported by people like you. And we need your help to reach the world. And never forget, this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. See you next time.